Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's a lot of folks who are curious about the occult, and that is a broad spectrum of things. It's one thing to be curious and to hear stories about it and kind of just absorb it as information. It's another to begin to dabble in it when you don't really know what you're doing. Heck, even when you do know what you're doing, things can go awry. But they're much more likely to go awry if you don't know what you're doing. You're just kind of trying things this way and that way. Because, hey, what could possibly go wrong? I heard a story about this once and that happened, and a story about that once and this happened. So that's got to be the same sort of thing, right? No. The answer is no. In our next story, we hear about two friends. One that likes to kind of dabble and experiment and try and understand that area a little bit better without having full knowledge of what exactly they're doing or what the potential consequences can be. And the friend that ends up being the guinea pig for this and experiencing some of those consequences that the friend has brought on. Take a listen. When my friend invited me to stay with him for a long weekend, I was only too happy to oblige. His house is about a two-hour drive from where I was in India and is in the rich sugarcane farm zone. He is very wealthy. And hey, who doesn't want to be pampered for a few days without any real work? So I begrudgingly accepted. He's also a very keen researcher in the field of the occult, so this invitation must have some sort of angle to that, I thought. But then I knew it will all come out in good time, so I didn't ask. I told him that I'll take a bus from where I was in the evening, which he said was not required. He'd send a car on Friday morning and pick me up. The car did arrive late morning, and after breakfast on the way, by the time we reached his home, it was almost lunchtime. His house is a two-story bungalow that was built around 16 years back. It was farmland that was converted to a residential area. There was nothing picturesque about the house as such, not much of a show-off, but a plain, solid house with rooms that have most of the basic facilities and a few good-quality guest rooms with air conditioning. My friend took me to one of those AC rooms on the second floor, which had a balcony that opened into the main entrance of the house. I came downstairs after a while, and we chatted about this and that, had lunch, and then went for a leisurely and long afternoon siesta. To cut a long story short, we did practically nothing the whole day. And when I went to the room given to me, I slept for 4 to 5 hours in the daytime with very little or no physical exertion. From our conversation, I guess that there was a peculiarity about the room that was given to me, and I was supposed to experience something. But I did not know what it was going to be, neither was I given any clue. I looked at everything in the room. It's a perfectly normal guest room. The only thing that did not fit in was a small cupboard. It was not from a new furniture set, and it looked different. When I opened it, to my surprise, I found 70-odd small red wax objects of different colors. These are not candles. They are specific shapes that can be enlightened at night for a very dim sort of light. The shapes had six sides and a very specific form. They're used in rituals that I'd only vaguely heard about, and what I had heard was not good. So this visit was related to this wax object that I didn't very understand much of, and then I just tried to go to sleep. However, after discovering these objects, sleep did not come easily to me. When it came, it was late. I was half anticipating that I'll wake up in the night sometime and witness what my friend wanted me to see, but nothing happened. I was woken up by my friend at 7:30 in the morning, asking me to get ready for a small but pleasant trek. Before leaving the room, I checked the cupboard. For a brief second, I had a feeling that numbers of wax lights were less than what I had seen last night. But then I might have been wrong. This time I counted and left the room. And the day was exactly opposite to the previous one. The pleasant trek turned out to be a 6-mile hike and a steep climb to a nearby hilly area. To make matters worse, my friend had brought no food with him, and I realized that we can get something only when we walk back to town. Then the rain came. Finally, we reached the house past noon, tired, wet, and hungry. Post-lunch, my friend decided to show me his new private workout room. Once again, to summarize, on that day, I did so much physical activity that I was dead tired by 9:30, skipped the dinner, and somehow staggered into my room for a well-deserved rest. At the back of my mind, I had started to think of this as some sort of practical joke that my friend was playing on me. I went to sleep the moment I hit the bed, and I woke at 2:30 in the morning with a start. I woke up with a sensation of numbing fear inside of me. Nothing has changed in the room, but all of a sudden, I understood that this is related in some way to what my friend wanted me to experience. At this moment, the room was empty, but something was about to enter it. Perhaps there was someone on the staircase. I could just feel it. I always respect the feeling of fear. This is what God has built into all of us, and it must have been there since our creation thousands of years back. I was about to come into contact with something that also existed since our creation and our paths were not supposed to cross. But something had gone wrong. The rule was broken, and my primitive instinct was telling me to protect myself at any cost. I wondered what my friend had brought me up against and started to pray quietly. Remember that even now there was nothing in the room, and my feeling that someone was about to enter the room could have been pure imagination. The only argument that was against it was the fear. It's not the sort of fear that one feels when one watches a horror movie alone at night. That's very superficial. My experience is that real fear or hatred towards the abnormal can be artificially generated. Neither does it show typical symptoms of fear that are all that well known. Well, what was on the staircase perhaps was also in both of our minds, whether to enter or not. I was not sure whether the prayer would help, but I knew that the faith would. No matter how it's implemented and what religion is expressed, it's that faith that helps. So I continued praying and thinking at that same time. At the physical level, I did what any other person would have done. I was just lying in bed without moving a muscle. Finally, whatever was outside made up its mind and entered the room. I'll not describe in great detail, mainly because I could not see much myself, as there was hardly any light, and in my opinion, for existence at that level, our dimensions of color and shape did not matter. To me, it looked like an overgrown cat that slides ahead instead of walking. Whatever it was, it did not have any legs, or such, at least I could see. It was grayish with a tinge of black, moving slowly and in one direction. The room temperature was dropping, and it was like an extra dimension was added to the room. Something that was not supposed to operate in our world had been summoned, and now there would be consequences. The cat continued to slide and slither towards the cupboard, and there was a very mild hissing sort of sound, which was definitely not a breathing sound. But the thing was doing something that was causing this. I started to feel very acute pain in my temple region. All this must have happened in maybe less than a minute. That means the speed of the cat was not really that slow either, but then I didn't think our understanding of time makes any difference here. What it entered was eternal. It had its own set of rule and units. It was clouded by your mind, by this cheap presence and this intention. The presence was near the cupboard now. If the cupboard door opened, I didn't hear it. At that time, the pain was unbearable and I moved. This was a mistake. Right as I moved, for a second, the hissing sound stopped. Mind you, there was no one looking at me and such, but this thing had shifted the focus somehow. I could sense that. The scene changed for perhaps 2 seconds. Very quickly, few images went past my eyes. I had a quick glimpse of the ritual being carried out, the cat thing being forcefully summoned from the evil but a secluded zone it existed in, and the anger that the cat felt at those who had done this. It did not have a thinking capacity and could not be human. It was angry and did not know what to do. I continued to pray. This lasted for a few seconds and the focus shifted again. I don't know what happened after that. I felt a bit ashamed to admit, but I think I lost consciousness. I might have been overwhelmed by what I was seeing and experiencing at that moment. Perhaps finally the basic protection inside of me started to work and did what was required to save my soul. I woke up the next morning at 6:30, very tired and fatigued with a lot of body pain, but there was no fever and the muscle pain must be because of the physical exercise carried out of the last day. I checked the cupboard and two more wax things were missing. I was convinced about two things. This is not what my friend wanted me to see. He was whimsical to a certain extent, but not stupid and cruel. There was a difference in our levels of sensitivity, and I had seen what he did not anticipate. Also, what had entered the room yesterday was not a ghost. It was a thing that existed in the zone about which we are totally unaware and was summoned by someone for a specific purpose. This is beyond any mortal crime. This is like crossing the boundaries that nature has defined for us, and the consequences can be really very bad for whoever was doing it. It can be dumb, but we don't know their world, their powers, their hunger, and reasons for existence. I also think I realized the reason behind the strange behavior of my friend for the last 2 days, but did not understand the logic. I was not tired, and hence must have slept lightly on the first day. On that day, I noticed nothing, even though the same set of events must have taken place that night also. On the second day, I was dead tired and must have slept like a dog. Still, I reacted to the presence and woke up with the danger around. So there was a certain link between being soundly asleep and sensing the presence. Generally, it is another way around, but this case was different, I guess. Anyway, the second question I had was, why was my friend putting me in the situation? Did he not realize the danger of what I was going to see? Or did he see something different? I asked Aldous in the morning, and he answered truthfully, yes, he was aware of the connection between the quality of sleep and the experience. That's why he ensured I remained in a completely different physical state on both days. He did not know the reason, but he used that room for himself during his sister's marriage for a week, and from his own experiences, he drew this conclusion, which proved to be correct. I was very cautious and guarded in explaining what I had seen. I did not share all, as this is a very dark and dangerous area, but my friend had not seen what I had seen. What he had sensed at that similar time was a covered door opening and closing sound when there was no wind. In the morning, he used to find a few wax objects missing. Less than half of what was originally were remaining now. I asked him where he had gotten the cupboard, and he said that he had purchased it exactly 1 week before his sister's wedding from a store. The person who was selling those had no customers in his stall, and my friend, just out of curiosity, went there and it ended up buying it at a very low price. The conversation ended there. All I have to say is I convinced him to throw the thing away by separating the wax objects and the cupboard. I did not mention the shape, neither did I mention the theory of summoning the existence or the short scenes that had passed before my eyes that night. I was more or less clear in my mind, though. Certain tantric in that small town were practicing something that he was not supposed to do. It was evil, and to get something from the other world of assistance was even worse. Things worked well for a while when you're in control of things, but a slight mistake, and in most cases, the first victim is a master itself. My friend did dispose of the cupboard and the wax objects, and since that time, it's been easy sleeping in that room.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories.